You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:55 with Mick Norton, James Millman and Luke Elder in the studio. It's Goodwood and Perth domestically, so action on the turf and over the obstacles. We've also got racing over in Ireland from the Curragh, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Right, what we'll do is we'll start with a look back at Friday, obviously Oaks Day at Epsom, and then we'll look ahead to Sunday's action. And an Oaks winner for Aidan O'Brien, which in the past, if you'd said that, people would have said, okay, fair enough. But at 50-1, the outsider of the field, James.
Yep.
What did you make of it all? Qualify, of course, the name of the filly.
Probably sums up the fact that most of the field were non-stayers. We had a lot of carnage with...
It was a messy race, wasn't it?
The other O'Brien horses getting completely knocked out of the way, especially Diamonds and Rubies, was probably going to run on and not be too far away. She got absolutely stopped to a standstill, yet still finished fourth. A 1,000 guineas winner that the pedigree suggested that she was full of stamina. But her attitude, she's got a free-going nature. She got quite worked up at the start. And ultimately, Ryan gave her a great ride. Thought she eye-napped her. She looked like she was the winner. A furlong out. And then the 51 shot comes and nabs on the line. I think Qualify just stays. She's very inconsistent because she's always worked well, but she's never really reproduced it on the track. Running some big races, went all the way to Santa Anita last year. Tailed off in the 1,000 guineas. Joseph Easer down at halfway. Owner said that it was a little bit too far behind in the 1,000 guineas in Ireland. But again, I think she was about 12th. No real reason why she should have overturned the form. But I say sometimes these fillies, on their day, that they can get it done, and she had a clear run through. Just everything probably aligned for her on that occasion, but whether she'll repeat it, who knows. But Aidan O'Brien, homebred as well, he actually bred it himself.
Yeah.
He gets to win at the Oaks.
Would Legatissimo be the one to still take out the race? I mean, to get there and have
for
such
a mile and a quarter, though, whether if yeah. she runs in the Irish Oaks and takes on Qualify again, does she truly stay at a trip? That'd be the question mark. Trying to seem to say that she's going to drop back to a mile and a quarter. It's hard to know because, like I say, in a more relaxed atmosphere in the Irish Oaks, she might well be able to get the job done. And is Qualify going to be good enough to do it? Ryan will probably conserve the stamina a little bit more next time. I wouldn't have it as a given that Qualify will win again, but I think she will be better at a mile and a quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking along the lines of the fact that Legatissimo came out of stall one, got worked up at the start.
Well, she came, the race again. She came out of stall one.
Yeah.
Qualify was in stall two, and I was watching closely because stall one, you can get stuck up and running. And
yeah.
Karma Donahue kindly let Ryan pass on Legatissimo and basically gave him the position that he should have had. I would imagine that realistically, Karma Donahue got shouted at, and now he's on the 51 shot outsider. Ryan wants a better position, and he wasn't going to complain. And I thought, oh, that's great for Ryan. He's a bit closer up. He's not stuck behind the 51 shot, not going to get stuck behind him. And yeah, actually, that's one that's gone and done him on the line. Draw one, draw two, it is a little bit difficult, but I think the way the race panned out actually didn't really make much difference.
Fair enough. Anything else stand out to you at Epsom on Friday?
Great ride by Eddie Greatrix in the Andrew Bolden runner.
Doing well,
16
isn't he?
Years old, first ride at the track. Put up £3 overweight, and he's doing it 7 stone 10, and he gave that one an absolutely cracking ride to get that one up and on the big days. He's a kid with a very, very bright future, and as usual, they certainly come out of this Andrew Bolden Academy, these riders. Oisin Murphy, Willie Buick, David Probat, all these big names, and that's the place to go if you're a young jockey, I think. That was impressive. A-Rod finally won a big race. Good ride by Andrea Rizzani from the front. He doesn't stay a mile and a half. Obviously, he's fourth in Nash's Derby, but dropped back to a mile third in the lock engine and a good win yesterday. He's certainly coming good, and like I say, he's trying to vindicate Peter Chabot-Hines, but he just tried to make him a stayer. But that didn't work, but he's certainly having a good year of a mile so far.
Good day for Silvestro de Souza as well. Treble on the card for him. He's having plenty of winners at the moment, isn't he?
Yep, riding very, very well. And like I say, probably trying to prove Godolphin wrong for letting him go. But yeah, he's teaming back up with his old boss, Mark Johnson, and Mick Shannon, and etc. And he's riding a lot of winners.
Yeah, let's leave that there anyway. Let's move on to Sunday's action. James has got four races for us, and we'll get his best bets in a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Group 3 action for the fillies to start with here. This is the Ballyhogan Stakes, which is the 340 at the Curragh. A field of seven here, James. Who would you side with in there?
Well, best race of the day tomorrow, and it's a pretty tight, competitive fillies race, 3 and 4 year olds. And interesting, the one I'm probably going to end up going for is the one that's got to give weight away. But Ivia Gardens is interesting, dropping back to 6 furlongs. She beat Found at 25-1, winning in the Group 3 last time out. A daughter of Master Craftsman. She's improving with age, owned by JP McManus. Pretty lightly raced. She's won on this kind of ground, and as long as she can cut back with drop back to 6 furlongs, I think she's got a great chance, because it doesn't look to be the strongest of races. The 3 year olds, Aneep and a newsletter get plenty of weight from the selection, but Aneep and a £10 claimer on when she ran really well behind Toscanini at Navan last time out, and Ocean Ori is a pretty good £10 claimer, so that probably was a big, big help. And I just question mark whether she's actually trained on that well. That'd be my concern for Aneep. Newsletter, on the other hand, she's previously certainly trained on winning at Nottingham, beating Pastoral Girl in a listed race at Nottingham, earlier third at Bath, so she's, like I say, she's trained on, but how good she actually is, I'm not 100% sure whether she's going to cope from listed up into Group 3 company, so that's a slight question mark about 2 3-year-olds there. Blauwouder for James Tate, the English raider, come a long way, and all of 2014 off a track, reappeared in the all-weather in the winter, got turned over odd odds on and a very, very poor maiden on a comeback, but clearly benefited from that, and she's kept on improving apart from a blip and a handicap at Thirsk off 83. She caused a little bit of a shock when beating the Interception in the listed race at Haydock a couple of weeks ago, but RPR gave her a rating of 108, and if that is a true reflection of her ability, she will go close, but just a slight concern as whether she'll repeat it, but she's certainly improving. But I'm going to stick with the JP McManus Ivor Gardens and a very intriguing 7-runner fillies Group 3.
The 405 at Goodwood next, and this is a Class 3 handicap over 2 miles. We'll start here with the bottom weight, Fitzwillie, who won over this course and distance last time. Paddy Pilley was on board on that occasion as well. Want to beat you?
Yeah, possibly. Being in good form over hurdles as well, Fitzwillie. He's not the quickest individual, but as you can see, stepped up to extreme distances on the flat. He's certainly coming good, beating Sam too. In a similar kind of race, there's another step up in grades, up another £5. Paddy Pilley rode in success, beating Sam too by length and 3/4 last time out. And a mark of 73, up in grade again. Just whether he's quite up to it, that would be my only concern. But I think he'll give you a great run for your money. He seems pretty consistent. He's probably going to be placed. I'm going to take another chance on Devil Dancer for Luke Morris and Sir Mark Prescott. A little bit disappointing at Newcastle last time out. Perhaps that race just disappointing, because his earlier form looked pretty progressive as a 3-year-old, winning his last 3 races as a 3-year-old. Beat one of my dad's horses, Tours, who has done quite well since. So I still think he could be well handicapped off a mark of 85. Just, like I say, a little bit disappointing last time out, but you may get a better price now after that slightly poor run. Artie Campbell, good second in a race at Ascot behind another Smart Prescott horse in Moscato. He's gone up £4 for that second, which is a little bit on the harsh side, but I think he'll be there or thereabouts. But the one I'm going to go for is Smart Deauville Dancer, and hopefully he can get back on the winning track.
The 5.10 at Goodwood next, and this is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds and older. And we'll start here with Exili, who couldn't arrive here in much better form, really.
No, back-to-back successes on her 2 starts at 3, winning a maiden at Thirsk. She was evens on that occasion, but certainly confidence was boosted as she won quite nicely at Leicester, beating 3 Grasse by 3/4 length. Handicap has stuck her up £5. But race and post rating still think she's got more improvement in her. And as a 3-year-old, she's certainly very unexposed against the majority of older horses here. And our fellow 3-year-olds, Solar Flare, looks a little bit exposed. Well, Lethal Legacy could be a little bit high in the handicap off 85. Of those that have obviously got the experience, Nigel's Destiny is likely to go off at a short price for Jeremy Nacido. He's always well backed. Got the first time visor on today. maybe trying to eke out a little bit of more improvement, because since winning off 83, a £7 lower mark at Lingfield back in February, the improvement just petered out slightly with fourths, fifths and thirds. But still 90, could still be well handicapped, and like I say, he's likely to go for a short price, but I'm probably going to go with XLE, see if she can get the hat-trick. She's certainly improving nicely. She gets a nice free out allowance of £9, and that could just be key. But another competitive handicap, and Nige Destiny, I think, will be the favourite. But I think hopefully XLE can get ahead in front again.
National Hunt action in the 425 at Perth. This is the Pentland Land Rover Perth Gold Cup handicap chase. It's for the City of Perth Gold Cup. It's over almost 3 miles, and we've got 14 runners here, James. So who would you side with in there?
Yeah, nice £25,000 handicap to look forward to. And old champion Court, who's obviously a horse that's running King George's Gold Cups, just lost his way a little bit last season, but off the mark at Kempton last summer. That was not the greatest of races, a £10,000 event, which, bearing in mind, he's normally running in real big, strong competitive handicaps, but should have got his confidence back. He's gone up £8, unfortunately, which is always a little bit on the harsh side, but he was rated as high as 157, and he's been placed off marks of 155, so he's still well handicapped, £7 lower than a Cheltenham success back in 2013, but he's got to give a lot of weight away. And there's one horse that's really been doing well, and that's Anne Turge on a hat-trick at the moment. Can he get it a four-timer? Nigel Hawke's team have been in really, really good form in recent weeks, but Anne Turge, I'd say, is one of them, winning his last three races. A long way from Devon to go all the way out to Perth, but I think Nigel Hawke could have found a nice opportunity here, a nice £25,000 handicap. So I'm going to stick with Anne Turge. Big Casino, taking a while to come good, but he won well last time out. He's probably the main danger. But I'll say Anne Turge will be the selection, a £25,000 handicap at Perth.
Yeah, the form of the market raising win as well, boosted subsequently by the runner-up, Le Bacardi. So whilst it's a career-high mark, his form's still holding up. So.
He's in really, really good form at the moment. And like I say, like most of the Nigel Hawke showing, they seem to have improved in the last couple of months of last season. They've carried it on through the summer. So I'll say, I think hopefully he can get the four-timer up for them.
All right, let's have a quick summary then, James, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, 340 at Curragh, I've gone for Ivea Gardens. She's progressive, beaten Found last time out. Probably overlooked because Found was considered disappointing, but it's still a really, really good effort. Luckily, coached with a drop back to 6 furlongs. I think she's got a great chance. In the 405 at Goodwood, we've gone for Doval Dancer to bounce back from a disappointing effort at Newcastle. 510 at Goodwood, XLE, I think she can get the hat-trick for Tom Dascombe and Richard Kingscote. And then finally, in the 425 at Perth, I think Anne Turge, another one that's in a winning sequence, can make it 4 in a row.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you.
And James will be in the studio on Sunday. He'll be joined by Mick Norton and Luke Elder, and he'll be covering the meetings at Goodwood, Perth and the Curragh. It's all live from 1:55 p.m, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.